My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I don't exactly know why I am being told to let you go. I have no idea. They just kind of said you gotta. I don't know. Maybe I can get you like a Rafferty's gift card or something on the table, you know. But I'm being told I gotta let you go. What did you even do? Where's the white boy? Does anybody know? But yes, you're gonna have to turn your key card in, young man. I don't really know, like, what he did. I don't, you know, it just kind of seems like he was just collateral damage indeed, you know. But yeah, crazy times, man. And we'll get Nolan onboarded at some point. I assume that's probably, you know, in the process.
Give him his email address and then his key card.
And we'll have that discussion with Nolan when the time comes that there is a certain way of doing things when you are indoctrinated into the Memphis basketball family. First off, you have to cut your wrist and you have to sign your contract in blood, right? That's the first thing. Secondly, you talk to anybody outside that building, you are subject to great punishment. Whether passively, aggressively, or directly, it just depends on the day. So just know that's just one of the things you have to know when you're coming to Memphis. Anyway, good stuff there from Hitman Hoops. We'll come back with the rundown. Maybe we'll have more. Stick around, Jason and John. 93.5 ESPN. Rundown.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, I mean, eventually we are going to have to move on, right? I do want to tell people we will have to move on. That is breaking news. But I will start in at least this one segment with the news of the day, which is that it's a wholesale change at the University of Memphis basketball program. It does feel like 2018 again, doesn't it? When we were talking about Memphis basketball 3 hours a day, every day, people were like, oh my God, you're talking about something, you know, but it is the story of the day at the local level. There's no question about it. We just had Hitman Hoops on the show. Rick Stansbury is out. Faraji Phillips is out. Jamie Rosser is out. Jermaine Johnson is still in the fold after initially being reported as out. So, Jason, we do want to thank you for that. You were a good man. You were a good man. Now, if I ever am fired, I am going to also ask to come on your show so that I can maintain the job. Mm. It seems to work, man. What is it about you? You're like, what's my guy, Tom Rinaldi? Nobody wants to go on with you because you're going to get all the tea, bro.
Perhaps Demetrius would like to come on.
Okay.
Well, Demetrius Dyson.
There we go. Hey, Demetrius, man, reach out. We'll get you right back on staff, dog. Yeah. Who else has been fired?
I mean, again, if that's all it takes, then you know, Rosser, Faraji,
Andy Borman.
Y'all let Jermaine one up you there.
Rick? Hey, Rick, come on.
Oh yeah. You wonder about Rick.
Oh, you don't want Rick.
Well, you wonder about him. If the tension was real, maybe Rick doesn't give a damn about continuing to work for the University of Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you know, it's interesting. You know, you hear
nobody's even talked about Noah and Raji. The sons of these men, we're just assuming they're out the door as well. I would imagine that'd be kind of uncomfortable.
Caught in the middle of that.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Any other?
But at that point, Rick may not want to be back, if you understand what I'm saying. There wasn't reported tension with the other
absolutely
guys
right.
It was with Rick.
I just think you have an unbelievable power that we've discovered. Mark Jackson should come on your show.
Mark?
Yeah, well, you've been trying to get him back in the league for at least 6 years. So let's get Mark Jackson back on the show. Maybe we can get him a gig in the league. Does your power extend to professional ranks?
It depends on what Mark can tell us. You know, you have to have leverage.
You got to have some skeletons on Kerr, doesn't
it? Don't you think that has to do with it? It's not just the fact Jermaine's coming on. It's what Jermaine could potentially tell us.
No, of course. Yeah. There's definitely I'm
happy. It has nothing to do with me. Everything to do with Jermaine and the power play, I would say, that
power
he successfully performed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, here's the truths and the myths of it. The myths of it are this impacts the upcoming season negatively in some way. It doesn't, right? I mean, we're not, Faraji had been demoted. He had been demoted from assistant already. Jamie Rosser had no, what was he doing really? He had taken a pay cut, I believe, was the story as well. Like, so he was kind of, I don't want to use that word. I don't want to say that word. But he was his role was diminished, right? His role was diminished already. Rick is the one that's pretty surprising, you would say. Pretty surprising. Given everything he did in the in the off season with Memphis and recruiting, and that's just what you continue to hear. But in terms of this season, it doesn't impact that. I mean, and what I said this morning, and what I think is just really true, and I think we're on the same page here. All this is just about Penny anyway. Win, lose, draw, it doesn't matter. Like, it's about Penny Hardaway. It ain't about the assistants. I mean, it could be the greatest. It could be the worst. It's about Penny at the end of this. And if Penny is the coach everybody in Memphis hopes he will be, this will be unfortunate because of the timing, and it'll get headlines and it'll get a lot of discussion. But it won't matter, right? It just won't matter. If he's not good this year and this team underperforms and it doesn't go to the tournament, then it will be impossible to ignore. Right. You can't operate like this and not produce. It makes it harder to produce when you operate like this. But Penny does outlandish things all the time. Penny defies the conventional. He always has, to the good and to the bad. And I think what you said in the open is right. This is not Kansas, and it's never going to be Kansas. Because of it. But can it be a tournament team consistently that wins the AAC? I mean, come on. Surely it can be that. And if that's happening, Penny will be the coach here. There's no doubt about it. If it is, an administrative thing or in conjunction with the administration, let's say that. Let's say it was a collaborative decision with the administration. I think that's a positive. I think we could say that's a positive because it represents, a receptiveness that maybe was not there before.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It can't be. We touched on it with Hitman a little bit. I said it. If you're going to get the best version of Penny, I don't feel like it can be a management style that we saw both from Bowen to start, and Bowen feels like he's powerless because Rudd has made the hire, and then Laird Veach after Bowen, who comes in. Penny's already got the power. He's answering to a president. What sort of power does Laird Veach have over Penny to hold him accountable when this is the president's guy? There needs to be an ability for Ed Scott to hold Penny accountable in a way that the previous two could not. And your president's got to allow you to do that. I believe Hargrave will. He's not as involved in the day-to-day as Rudd was. But I say that to say this. I want to see Memphis, and that is now Ed Scott and Tim Duncan as Ed Scott's right hand, and a guy that knows Penny well, get the best version of Penny, maybe the one that he can't even pull out of himself, to get that out of him. And we see if that best version can get this job done in a way that we all thought, when Penny Hardaway first got the job, this is what we were going to see, right? And because I think Penny needs that at this point. Because he has not been managed in many ways, he's been allowed to run it his way because of the reasons we just listed. Again, he's essentially answering to a president in Rudd. I don't know that he's found the best, his best self. I don't know that we've found Penny's best self. And to get a little bit back, to touch on what Hitman's saying, I believe that guy's in there. I believe that if he's listening to the right people around him, and if you've put the right things around him, if Tim and Ed have supplied him with everything he needs, there is a version of Penny Hardaway. Cut out some of these decisions that don't seem to make any sense, but it is getting the job done in a way that's making Memphis folks proud. But what I'm saying is it's an outside hand now that needs to help with that. It's not Penny that's going to fix himself all of a sudden. And so that's my hope, is that in some of these changes, and we've gone back and forth on whether it's Penny, whether it's the administration, we had, you know, a couple of different sides there, but what it looks like is maybe, as you just touched on before you handed it over to me, is that both of them are working on this. If this is all to try to get, before this is all said and done, the best version of Penny out of it, the thing that's following all the rules and you're maximizing everything you can get from an NIL standpoint, yeah, it's going to take an outside hand to get that right now. I'm hopeful that this is a step toward that.
Right.
I'm hopeful of that, but you can't. Yeah, I mean, you have nothing to bank it on.
Right.
You know, because, again, trying to get a guy who's made millions, he's a super success. What are we talking about? Penny Hardaway is already a success. It's not like a college basketball coach, your regular one, whose success is going to be measured on whether or not he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. Penny's already got the success and the equity built in because of the player he was, because of the millions he's made, because of what he is to Nike and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not trying to climb that ladder. But so that's why I'm saying we need this help right now from Ed, from Tim Duncan, and hopefully it can get Penny to whatever the best version is. And if that version is not good enough, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. But I'm, you know, I don't know that we can tell whether this is that, whether this is sort of a, man, let's clean up everything around you, let's polish it up, let's get this thing really rolling, and really get not just the porch cleaned up, but the whole house, man, so this thing can operate efficiently. You know, that's what I'm hopeful some of this is. But I don't think you can bank on it.
Now, it's hard to know.
It'd be, how you gonna change
and Ed Scott was asked by Tim Buckley earlier today, and he actually had a quote. He said, "I have no comment." This is Memphis AD Ed Scott on the moves. "I have no comment on that. Penny put out his statement, and I'll address it if and when necessary. But no, I have no further comment on that." So, you know, I think we could have done a little better there. But, you know, if it was something that was truly collaborative, I think you could have said, "Hey, you know, we got together, we talked about things, we have a vision." Like, how hard would that have been to say? I'm not sure that comment makes me still feel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little weird. If it was like a collaborative thing, you could say, "Listen, Penny, you know, we all have a shared vision for the program and how we feel like it could be its best self. And we trust Penny to make the right decisions," you know? I don't know. It's just not a comment that I feel like makes me feel like it was some joint effort. But I don't know how Ed Scott operates. Maybe this is how he operates.
Again, this is my fear. If we're going to continue to leave Penny to his own devices, if we're not going to manage him, if we're not going to hold him to a level of accountability that can actually improve him as a head coach, then I think you're done. I think this doesn't work.
And
so
exactly.
If that's where I'm at.
Because he would just quit.
If Ed Scott and Tim Duncan can't reach him and sort of, you know, put those finishing things on Penny that he needs to pull this thing out of it, I think it's done. Because then you will have been through three ADs that have left him to his own devices, you know, because, again, you come in answering to a president as this celebrity, you know, program hero. And you've never had to get better because you've never been challenged to be better. You understand what I'm saying? You're of the millionaire mindset. I'm already success. I don't need to change anything. You know, if that's going to be the case, and you're just going to leave him to his own, which I don't think it is. I don't think Tim Duncan's here for that. Because again, if I'm Ed Scott, why I'm just hiring Penny's friend? It's more of the same. We're not controlling. If I don't have a belief in Tim Duncan that we're going to hold Penny to a new standard, why am I bringing him in here? Because then it's going to be more of the same yes men. We're not here to improve Penny. That's what it needs to be about. Mm-hmm. Helping him, helping Penny help himself. I mean, that's the point we're at now. So I'm hopeful it's a little bit more collaborative than maybe Ed's letting on there. Maybe he doesn't want to look like somebody that's second guessing now or coming down heavy on his coach. You know, I'm past that point. You could have put out something that says this was a collaborative effort, but I'm not going to worry about what a couple of words to, you know, DM said. Maybe he's just trying not to look like he's second-guessing everything Penny does, or that he trusts him here. But I have to believe what Hibman's saying, that this is collaborative. I'm not going to sit up here and not believe that the administration didn't have something to do with this.
Yeah, I mean, it would be far-fetched, but
much more, you know, that seems much more plausible that it's a joint effort here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know,
both sides got a little bit of what they wanted.
Right.
And a little bit of give.
Yeah, that is the latest from Memphis basketball. Ed Scott says to Tim Buckley, the Daily Memphian, "I have no comment on that. Penny put out a statement, and I'll address it if and when necessary, but I have no further comment on that." So that's where it is right now, and the next step is just Penny hiring the final staff for this season, which kicks off, two months, basically? A month and a half? I mean, really, you start before then because you got Memphis Madness, you got practice and stuff. So next month, season gets underway, and Penny's got some work to do.
Next story.
Broncos have agreed to a major, major deal with cornerback Pat Surtain II. Reached an agreement today. 4-year, $96 million extension, includes $77.5 million guaranteed. Now makes him the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. It's a $24 million average annual value for Surtain. Puts him ahead of safety Antoine Whitfield of the Bucks. He's making 21. Packers quarterback Jair Alexander is making 21. And the $77.5 million guaranteed is also the most for a cornerback contract. And it leads me to a discussion. He was taken 9th overall back in the 2021 draft to something I heard this morning. We talked about Travis Hunter and what's he going to be in the NFL. And you just think about now, you know, and again, this is the highest paid DB who's at $24 million, but we've talked about it and we've seen these deals that these receivers are getting, which are in excess now of $30 million. It just makes a lot of sense for the two-way star over at Colorado, I think. And you add to it the glory, the sort of, the image perks that come with being a touchdown maker, a guy that scores in the NFL. Just seems like to me, whether he's a better DB or not than he is a wide receiver, I think seems like to me the road in the NFL for Travis Hunter with the way that wide receivers are valued is still wide receiver. He may decide different. Clearly, the market isn't so far off where there's that much of a discrepancy between the $24 million Pat Surtain's making and what, Justin Jefferson's over 30, right there at 30. So it's not a huge difference, but I would think with everything that comes with being a receiver in this league and all the star power, that's the way he ends up going.
Yeah, I mean,
many have him mocked as a DB, though, so this is not done. I don't think that kid's made a decision.
Yeah, he's got his whole season to figure it out. But, I mean, I just kind of feel like with the plays that he was making, it's like, that's...
Some of those catches you made.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely...
The hand angles and the strength in those hands. But, I mean, again, that can be applied to you.
It can.
To a defensive approach.
It can. I mean,
Deion,
There may not be a wrong answer for him.
I don't think, no, you're probably right. There ain't a wrong answer.
You just kind of...
And if we're only talking $5 to $10 million difference between the highest, per year, the highest DB and the highest paid wide receiver, then maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be a... It's not necessarily a money decision. You'd go with whichever one makes you the most comfortable, whichever one you feel like you're the best at. So I would still say DB probably still in the mix. Many, like I said, have still got him mocked as a... When they mock him up, it's as a defensive back, as a corner.
Right. Yeah. So it's just, he's got, I guess, you look at contracts, but the money is definitely at the receiver position. So, I mean, Jamar Chase about to get paid. Justin Jefferson already got paid. All these guys, you get more money. I mean, the top paid receiver is making more than the top paid DB.
Seems like you got more leverage. Brandon Ayuk says,
exactly.
Okay, I don't want to be a Niner. I've scrubbed my stuff. He gets his money, They're the position that seems to have the most leverage. I would advise him to do that. But either way, he's going to be an absolute success. For now, your highest paid defensive back in the NFL after Wednesday's news is Pat Surtain. Absolute stud the Broncos have there. 4 years, $96 million extension.
Next story.
All right, week one kicks off tomorrow in the NFL. A team that goes by the Chiefs from Kansas City plays the Baltimore Ravens. And then on Friday, this is interesting, there's a Brazil game. And Sao Paulo has beefed up security ahead of NFL player concerns. There's concerns from Eagles players, believe it or not, because they wear green. I don't know. But A.J. Brown told reporters, we had a meeting with a whole bunch of don't do's. So I'm just trying to go down there, win a football game, and come back home. Darius Slay said on a podcast, week one, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait, but man, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? I'm here to tell you why. They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. I'm like, NFL, why y'all want to send us somewhere where the crime rate is this high? We out of the country. The first thing people are thinking is like some terror could possibly happen. I told my family, do not come down there because I'm not going to be nowhere to be found. I'm going to be in my hotel chilling, minding my business, playing my game after a long 9.5-hour flight. And then Darius Slay actually came out last night and apologized for saying that on his podcast. I don't know why, But he said, I want to apologize to anyone I offended. That wasn't my intention. I'm looking forward to playing in your beautiful country. And I've heard y'all are very passionate, just like our amazing Eagles fans. Just a few more days. Can't wait.
And the NFL clearly got to him.
Yeah. But it is interesting. Like,
so we're trying to be a global game, and any kind of insinuation that you know, it's a criminal country or you don't want to go down there goes, you know, pushes
right.
back on that.
Right.
Sure, he got the call from the NFL reps, and he went on right on back out there. I bet they made it worth his while, though.
Yeah. Sao Paulo says the local homicide rate is 4 times lower than the national average and compares to that of California, while below with Washington, D.C.
It sounds like you're saying Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo.
It's San Paulo, right?
Sao.
Sao Paulo?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're saying...
Sao Paulo Antonio.
Yes.
But it's S-A-O.
I thought it was San.
No. Sao Paulo.
San Paulo.
I mean, that's how it's spelled. Said. Mm. How would you say it?
I've always said San Paulo.
Well, that'd be wrong. There's no N there. Unless that's how it's... Maybe it's Portuguese, and that's how you pronounce it. I thought it was Sao Paulo, though.
He works for ESPN.
Sao Paulo Banquero.
Sao Paulo Antonio.
but yeah, are you going to go down there when the Bears are there next year?
No, I didn't know we had that game.
No, yeah, you don't. But I'm thinking that they could definitely make that happen. I mean, Packers-Eagles is a big one.
I wouldn't tell you if you've been told not to leave the hotel because it's unsafe. You know, I don't know if you saw that news about Jimmy Pearsall getting shot in San Francisco, right? Was that Market Square or whatever else? They did a signing or whatever else. Now, they're saying that wasn't because he was an NFL player, but I guarantee it's because he had a big old chain on his
neck. No doubt.
Right? And he had been identified. And you think these guys going to leave the hotel? They got all their jewelry on and stuff. What is the NFL thinking? And then you're telling them to go down there, but no, we're so worried about that. We want you to stay in your hotels. It's ridiculous. All in the name of growing the game. Well, let's go to a safer spot then.
Right.
I mean, I don't blame him at all. In fact, that the backtracking seems a little silly because what he said was just straight up. You know, you want a safe trip.
Yeah.
You know, I bet Kamish got a hold of him.
Of course, he had to.
Hey, buddy.
You know, they're trying to. I don't know if they're trying to investigate it as an expansion place. That seems a little out there. But you know, they are having the game there, and they don't want to piss off the fans. You know, they want attendance. They don't want the NFL players trashing the place. You know, so. But yeah, I mean, Ricky Pearsall. We didn't even talk about that yesterday. Like, bro,
dude, he's like back to practice.
Is he really?
Somebody or close to it. Like,
no way.
Shot in the chest, bro. He's walking away. Both of them got shot in the scrum for the gun, him and the 17-year-old.
I mean, that's a scary word.
So I'm assuming he kind of got it turned around or something because the kid tried to rob him. And the NFL's gone out of its way to say he was not targeted as an NFL player to try to, you know, sort of downplay any fear, concerns that being at these signings or whatever, the NFL guy, you're going to get robbed. But let's be real. This little kid probably had an eye on him because the jewelry I'm sure he's wearing. And, I think he walked off, dude. Whatever, I think it went clean through. And so it wasn't a deal where, you know, it immediately had him down and it touched his heart or something. No.
Yeah.
He was extremely lucky.
That's scary, bro.
Blessed, dude.
Yeah, for real. I remember hearing that on all over the weekend, and it's like,
yeah, Debo Samuel was like tweeting, he's gonna live, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, at first, that was the first we'd heard of it.
Yeah. So anyway, Brazil game on Friday. What time is that game? Is it a weird time? No, it's got to be Friday night, right? I mean, how they can't just do it at like Friday at
I'm assuming that's a Friday night game. Yes.
So what's the time zone difference, man? It can't be that bad then.
No. I mean, they're beneath us. It's going to be along the same time zone. We'd be an hour or two.
7:15, yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Dad's down there in Belize. The same thing.
Can you explain to me the...
No, because there are times of year where he's in hours, but then times of year where he's not.
Okay.
It goes over, you know, switches over. So
and do you know what the season is in Brazil? In Sao Paulo Antonio? Do you happen to know?
I'm going to go rainy season.
Rain season.
That would be a guess.
So you think it's an over game or an under game? You think they're going to try to put on a show for the Brazilians?
No.
Oh, you like the under.
Yeah, they want a quick game.
They're going to run the ball and get the
get out there as fast as possible, bro. There's going to be a lot of run plays.
Give me a prediction, Packers-Eagles. Eagles 2.5?
I don't know. Why are you skipping over Thursday's game to get to that one?
I realize there's a safety issue, but
the main event is on Thursday. That's the game seems more like picking to me.
I feel like we already have talked about that game quite a bit. I mean, don't we both like Kansas City in that game?
No way. Right, they can't get them. They can't embarrass Baltimore again, can they?
Here's how I look at it. Kansas City is better offensively. They're worse defensively.
And isn't this the best time to get KC early in the season?
It is. It is. They lost to Detroit in the opener last year. It was close. Kadarius Toney dropped, what, 12 balls?
Well, they've upgraded a receiver.
Yeah, so they're better offensively, but they're worse defensively because they lost LeJarius Sneed. He's now a Titan. So you're worse defensively. I say the Baltimore Ravens are worse on both sides of the ball. Because they lost some linemen. Their offensive line's a work in progress. They did add Derrick Henry, but it's like how much you going to get out of him early on? Are you going to really ride him at the beginning of the season? Are you going to try to save him?
Well, tell me about that offensive line you've been saying so banged up. How's it look shaping up coming
in? It looked awful in the preseason. I mean, they were trying starters, you know, with Josh Johnson out there. So I was not impressed with that offensive line. And that's going to be – now, it could lead to more Lamar running. And that is where Kansas City struggles, you know, against mobile quarterbacks like that. We know that last year in the playoffs, that is not what, for some reason, Baltimore decided they were going to do. They decided they were going to win the game with Lamar's arm, as opposed to doing the things that got them to that game. I can't explain it. Nobody can explain it. But maybe this is the time where they say, all right, we're going to actually run the ball at Kansas City now with Derrick Henry and Lamar, and we're going to grind this game out. Maybe that's what happens. It's gambling, Jason. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I know. It doesn't seem like you've been doing very well lately.
I'm doing just fine.
I don't know. You seem kind of edgy lately, last couple of days.
I was a little.
I think college football kicked your butt is the sense I got.
No, here's the reality. People don't talk about this. And this is good. This is good. We need to talk about this. Three and four-day weekends are incredible to get, right? You love going into that three, four-day weekend. But when you come back from it, that first day, you're going to be grumpy because you've been gone for so long. You get used to it. You get used.
Oh, you're saying that wasn't
it had nothing to do with gambling.
Losses.
I'm like, I'm back at work, all right, and okay. I'm grumpy about it.
Well, it's called you have to work.
I know
for a
I
living,
have to work.
Fool.
I know I have to
and
work.
You don't have to do it nearly as much as others.
That's true.
So feel blessed and grateful.
But these 3 hours are hard earned.
You won't tell people how long they are.
They're just hard earned, bro. Yesterday we didn't have air. Thankful that we have air today. Shout out to our engineers and the people that got that done. Much better conditions today, but I felt like I was making Nikes yesterday. It was unbelievable what y'all put me in yesterday.
I'm sorry.
I didn't want to say anything.
Place to work. Can you get this guy? He acts like he's in Sao Paulo, Brazil,
Jason,
or something,
working in a sweatshop.
Guy acts like he's working in a sweatshop.
I really hate this that he just doesn't like it here and it's not a good place to work.
No, it's just that initial 4-day.
I have a new employee in here, guys.
The 4-day, hey.
Stanley Stansberry. Stanley's ungrateful.
Well, George is starting as a new producer here and he is not impressed with your dialogue.
I love working here, George.
We'll slowly watch the light leave George's eyes over the years. It happens.
Light has not left, and I've been there 20 years.
What's that movie? It's one of the Toy Story movies, right?
Your light going to be alive in your dead body, and you wish there was still a light in there.
If they'll keep me here, I'll stay here.
The power of radio.
Hey, bro, look, here's the deal. When Connor started, he was like Josh Pastner, and now that may be walking around like Jim Boeheim, all right? So I mean he's only been here for 4 or 5 years.
I think Rhodes knocked him down a little bit.
Beat
him down a little bit of that.
They make you work at Rhodes.
Yeah,
that's
he actually
true.
Had to
hey,
work
that's
over
true.
There.
Rhodes is a
that's
place where
the,
you're not going to believe
Life
this,
beat
folks.
Him up outside
I
of the
actually
place,
called
bro.
This when it happened. Now I'll talk. I won't talk on the first part. The second part I'd love to talk on. Yeah, I said hey because Mark and Jeffrey like we recommended him for a job at Rhodes College. I said, what's he doing? Oh, he'll be the sports information That's director working. Over there. And I said, I remember being involved with the Division III program at my alma mater and
Oof.
What that entailed.
Oof.
It entails ass is what it entails.
And you're responsible for everything.
Hey, John from North Alabama, we'll put that press release out about the 94th person on the Rhodes College roster.
That's right.
Let me work on that. Hey, let's do a photo session for the Rhodes football team tomorrow. You talk about a thankless job. You talk about resources. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, no,
tough,
no,
bro.
No question. Listen,
sorry, that's my dialogue on.
Yeah, that. No, I mean, this is we're blessed to do what we do, unless you know, again, the air is out, and it
we
becomes
go in, though.
Incredibly
shout out to Alan.
Harsh conditions.
Alan
like I was in
happen.
Vietnam. I mean,
I'm
it
sorry.
Was just I didn't want to make a big deal of it, you know, but it made me thankful.
It made me thankful for the air. I will say, I used to not, but then, like, you know, the air's not circulating, and it's just like, I feel like I was in a vacuum.
Y'all
in space
always complain
yesterday.
About freezing your ass
I know,
off.
No, I will never complain like, again. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I always just overdress. Like,
yeah, I will never complain about it again. I swear to God, I will not do it because now I know what the alternative is.
We're trying
is.
To take care of you.
You know, I think that was just like a lesson, like, hey, here's how it could be. All right? You guys want to turn the air off? Here's how it feels. You know, I mean, somebody died yesterday in the hallway. I mean, it was just a lot. There was a lot going on yesterday.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, we did have a dead body out there.
And hopefully everything goes very smoothly in Brazil. Yes.
Shout out to the NFL trying to mix it up in
that's right.
places that are tough to play.
One last one.
You got another one?
Next story.
So Tom Brady says he's been doing a lot in preparation for his career as an analyst. He's being paid $375 million to do it. And we know, too, he's bumped off our man from the number one team on Fox. That's Greg Olson, who we thought a lot of. And I suspect we'll still continue to put in more work than Tom. What's interesting about this to me is that for a guy who, unlike Greg Olson, Tom Brady is also pursuing ownership, and he's doing that, we know, with the John's Raiders. And so as a part of that, you've heard he can't, unlike some of these other analysts, and you hear them talking about it from the meeting the night before that they had with the teams, their coverings, coaches, and everything else, sometimes the DC, sometimes the OC, most of the time the head coach. Tom can't go into those meetings. So how's he going to study up In the same way that every other analyst is doing in terms of what they're running right now, and we've talked about it. He's an encyclopedia, I'm sure, for a lot of these guys, particularly the ones that have been in the league, the DCs that have been in the league as long as he has. He's going to have a pretty good memory when it comes to recall, when it comes to what those guys run, that he'll be able to apply, obviously. But I will say, just in terms of the day-to-day and the up-to-date stuff, if you can't be in those meetings, and this is out of obviously a competitive concern for the NFL, you're going to be going to own a Raiders team, you can't know everything about the Philadelphia Eagles and their inner workings when you're covering them, or whatever your game's going to be, you understand where they're coming from. Isn't there a limit to how good you can be when you can't give me some of that? It's probably going to be covered up by the fact that he's a GOAT and he's going to give us so much insight that we're not going to miss those things when he's talking about the meeting from the night before that Lord knows Chris Collinsworth is always referencing, always talking about some laugh they had from the night before about a certain guy. But that said, I'm not going to push back. They said since last year he's been going back and watching film of games. You know, he had this sort of the red shirt year last year where he's not doing it. He's sitting out another year of it before he comes on. And they said he spent a great deal of the year, like, breaking down games. We saw what he did with the, the UFL in terms of their championship game. Did a little bit of championship work where you interview the MVP and everything else. Looks like he's put some work into it. I'm very eager to see, and they're calling it, at least the Athletic, the Marchands of the world, the most anticipated analyst debut ever. And you probably do have to put it up here. I mean, we anticipated Romo's held it up there pretty high. And you're talking about, you know, guy with 7 Super Bowls now. You'd probably think this is double the attention that we paid to Romo for his debut. So everybody eager to see how Tom does. I suspect it's going to come off pretty well, just like about everything he touches.
Yeah, I mean, that is a
disadvantage.
Obstacle. Yeah, I mean, now again, he's fantastic, and he's a film rat. So I think he'll be able to find enough just from watching tape.
That you won't miss.
Yeah, like those production meetings. I've never been in them, but I assume there are a lot of, like, ball washing, right? I
mean, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of old stories told. There is. There's a lot of. But also, I would assume a lot of insight to be gained on, okay, who's moved up in the depth chart this week?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had a guy go down.
No,
you know
I mean,
what I'm saying?
I mean, it is an interesting dilemma.
And I guess Burkhart. I think he's still his guy.
That's him.
We'll be able to relay that info to him. So, again, in the end, it's not like Tom's going to be missing something. But a little bit different than your Greg Olson's and everybody else who's just doing it as an analyst, whereas Tom's doing it, analyst, but I'm also looking to be an owner. So there's a limit to what I can do here.
Yeah. It's unprecedented in so many, because, like, if it was any other guy, they would probably just say, you know, we'll get somebody else. We'll have somebody that can go in the production meetings. We'll have somebody that can do the whole thing, go all in with us. But with Brady, it's like, you know, you just accept the limitations because it's Brady.
Right.
And we don't know how this is going to sound, but I don't think it will be any worse for him not being in those meetings. That would be my guess.
No, he'll give us some.
Because I'll say, so I'll say that sometimes Romo is like a little too chummy, right? That's like he's become that. He's become too chummy.
I think that we're going to get the opposite of that. You're going to get a super serious, competitive kind of cat.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, look, we're not talking about generals, you know, in war.
But like, if you see his stuff out there, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard him call a game yet, so I'll be interested to see, you know, but I think he is a, you know, straight shooter. I mean, I think he's going to talk about the you know, the experience and the ins and outs of the game itself, yeah. And he's not going to really get into, you know, what he thinks about a coach or anything like that. I mean, I think he's going to really keep it to, you know, players and situational, but we'll see. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, you had that big stance on that we're doing these young quarterbacks a disservice and not coaching them up. We're coaching to the level, which doesn't develop them.
Right.
I'm sure we'll get a lot of that. You know, this is we're now a little bit of old school.
Yep,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I think that's going to come out.
I think you're going to see.
Maybe John's right. Individually, he's probably not going to go after guys.
No.
But I think of, you know, of how the league is today's league and how they distribute. Yeah, we're going to get a little bit of that.
Greg was really good.
You got to be careful with that stuff.
I think I'm with you, though. Greg was really good at breaking down plays. He'd be like, you know, the third wide receiver and the chalkboard. Like, he was very good with the descriptive, and he didn't do it in a sort of dorky way.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fun part of the weekend, no question about it. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us in the studio. Looking forward to that as well. It's Hurd joining us in studio at 125 in terms of things I'm looking forward to, and then it's Brady's debut right after that. So that's my order. That's my power ranking. So looking forward to catching up with Hurd and getting his thoughts on everything at 1 o'clock, 125 or so. Stick around, Jason and John. How are you trying to fam? ESPN.
You heard us talk a lot about FanDuel. Do it all the time because they're America's number one sports. But they got something for you now through September 22nd. Still got a couple of weeks to take advantage. All FanDuel customers, not just new ones. You can bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Again, just bet $5, get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game, every one of them. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel at any time. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to download America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/JSmith. Make sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for All Sunday pregame money line bets. Profit Boost will be live starting on Friday. View your account page now to learn more about your boost. It's only on FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
889-9789.
We have Troy coming up.
Yeah, don't look past Troy.
All right. And Seth Hennigan said earlier today that Troy is no North Alabama. That is a fact.
I mean, it's the ultimate trap game, is it
fact
not?
Fact check, true. Troy is no North Alabama.
Well, because they're FBS.
They're FBS, and they are also not North Alabama. These are the Troy Trojans. North Alabama is the North Alabama Lions.
Right.
Totally different teams, different systems, different coaches, different
not
everything.
North Alabama.
So Seth is 100% correct. But with that being said, a lot of interest in September the 14th, which is Florida State in Tally. A lot of Memphis fans going, sold out crowd, Doak Walker, Norvell trying to avoid the 0-3 start.
Yeesh.
At the hands of his former job. Silverfield trying to lift and elevate this season into a different stratosphere, showing that if we win this game, knowing what that means, knowing what that represents for this program this season. So quite a bit on the line, and there was a lot of back and forth about the number on this game. And I have to tell you that as someone who does this every day, every week, almost all the time, this is the most genuinely shocked I have ever been about an opening number since I've been doing it. For any sport. Memphis on the road against Florida State, who is desperate, is a simple 1.5-point underdog to the Seminoles.
How you like them apples?
I'm going to say that again.
You need to say it again.
Memphis
Tell it
is
to yourself.
But a 1.5-point. In fact, Memphis money line has a minus in front of it. It's minus 102. Now, they're holding 20 cents, but Memphis doesn't even have a plus sign in front of the number on money line. I expected this to be 8.5 at the absolute least. Now, here's what we're going to talk about. This number will not be 1.5 once limits go up. This number will get out to Florida State 3.5, 4.5, I believe. But the idea that the opener is as short as it is tells you everything you need to know, both about Florida State and about odds makers' opinions. Home field advantage in 2024, according to Sagarin's ratings, is 3.82 points, right? That's just like home team, road team. Home team is laying minus 3.8. And with that factored in, Florida State can't even get to minus 3.5 on the opener. With home field, that stadium is one of probably the better home fields in all of America, you would think. And it's a sold-out crowd, and it's still not even three, not even a field goal. So I have to say that this is somewhat shocking to me based on all the numbers. I do think, Jason, it is a big overreaction to Florida State. I know they've looked bad. I get it. But, I mean, this is still a group of five versus a power five. I can't remember the last time that Memphis has been on the road against a Power 5 team and been this short of a dog. I don't know that that has ever happened, you know. I'd have to go back and look. But, I mean, were you not kind of surprised by that number?
It was lower than I thought it would be, but I told you last week when we talked about it, I thought it would be single digits.
Right, right. I thought like maybe a touchdown.
I think, too, when we saw yesterday the new SP Plus rankings, which essentially have Florida State and Memphis tied. You have Florida State 0-2, 30th, Memphis 32nd. Here's what it's telling you. And I think what Vegas is saying, we think Memphis is a significantly better team than Georgia Tech and Boston College. And the SP Plus rankings would bear that out. While you're right, there's a difference in terms of power before in terms of the conference and where they're coming from a metric standpoint, they have this Georgia Tech team ranked 53, and they got Boston College all the way down at 70. They've got you at 32. They think you're a better team than them. And, oh, by the way, those two ACC teams manhandled Florida State physically in a way that made, hell, Florida State look like the Group of Five team. And we're talking about the way you ran the ball on them, over 5 yards a carry in both games, just absolutely manhandled them. They think Memphis is a better team all around and certainly a better offense than both of those teams. And that's why you have this line as short as small as it is. I mean, again, if Memphis is what we expect it to be, there's a good chance you are better than Georgia Tech and Boston College. They looked so good, those two, because Florida State is down. Because it's not just a DJ Uiagalelei problem and an offensive problem. It's a defensive problem as well. So that's what I tell you is that what Vegas has peeped out here is that, you know, this isn't so much us thinking Memphis is stronger than we thought it was when we started the season. This is Florida State's that down.
Yep.
You know, they've got Memphis handily ahead of the Boston Colleges, which they've got seventh, and Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Which they've gotten up down in the 40s. And so you're significantly better than both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
so you shouldn't be surprised at, you know, at all that maybe that it's this close, sure. But in the end, they think you're a better team than the two ACC teams.
Florida State lost quite a bit. I think that's showing up. The defensive line might be the most overhyped unit in all of college football because they have not been able to stop the run. But I think where I lose the faith.
53 Georgia Tech. That's 21 spots below.
Right, right. Where I lose the faith a little bit with Memphis is just the run game, you know. And we'll see how it looks against Troy. But Mario Anderson as the lead back, I mean, you look at what he did at South Carolina last year. I mean, he had a couple of good games, but he was mostly like a 3-yard a carry guy. He's just not that explosive. And I will say with, you know, both teams that beat Florida State, they did it one very specific way, and it was running the ball. And if Memphis can't do that, I still think it's going to be hard for them to pull this off. I mean, what Justin Fuente once said, throw to score, run to win. And, you know.
Well, if they can't tackle, and doesn't look like Florida State can tackle, he was still 5 yards a carry, 4.9 last year. He's the kind of back you don't want to tackle. I'm with you. There was a reason why Sutton Smith was starting that game, because he's more of the home run threat than Mario Anderson is. But between the DeRozier kid and maybe Brandon Thomas up again, popping back up, remember he was fourth on the depth chart going into the season, and we've seen Brandon Thomas have a big game against Mississippi State a couple years ago. Maybe there's enough there. You won't be as dynamic in the backfield as you could have been
yep.
with Sutton Smith. But remember, this team couldn't tackle a bread wagon
yep.
for Georgia Tech and for BC. They were running through there. Mario's a physical back and the kind of guy you don't like tackling. So maybe that per carry is decent with him. And more importantly, brother, between DeRozier, however you pronounce it, and our man Brandon Thomas, you know, you're getting some big plays mixed in there. That's the key, is you just don't want to leave Seth where it's all pass, pass, pass. You have to have some balance out there. And between Mario and the other cats, hopefully there's enough. But you're right. I mean, the run game took a blow. And the fact that you only averaged 2.3 yards per carry against an FCS was
right.
certainly more than concerning.
Yeah.
But you like this is a game where you'd like to get it back on track. Again, you got Troy to sign, kind of get ready right. for that beforehand.
Exactly.
See what you can do with this. It's going to be a new look backfield with Mario at the front of it now as
it
opposed
is.
To Sutton Smith.
It is. So, at any rate, that number opens much, much.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.